These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Well, welcome to Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio as we get set for the Wintrust Business Lunch. All eyes are on Jerome Powell as he is speaking now, and they're looking for hints when it comes to interest rate cuts. I'm not sure that they're picking him up. We'll talk to John Najarian about that in just a sec. Also, you know the company WGN Flag? They were on probably about a year ago. Interesting that a lot of the banners you see along the streets in Chicago or at the United Center or at Guaranteed Rate Field, they're made by WGN Flag Company. No relation. They've been in business, I think, longer than we have. We'll talk to them a little later in the show. And then Amy Guth comes by to talk about AbbVie. AbbVie getting a bit of a facelift today. Maybe we'll talk about that with John as well. John Najarian on a phone line, just done with the halftime report at CNBC. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Great to be with you, Stephen. Thank you very much, sir.
So let's start with the Fed, right? Jerome Powell is speaking now, but they released some notes on what he was going to say, and he sort of seems to be, I don't want to say he's standing up to the president, but he's standing against any sort of pressure from the White House to bend Fed policy to agree with White House policy.
Yeah, as well he should. And I think every Fed chairman would bend against that the same way. They are essentially separate from the government, but a quasi-governmental arm that gets to set interest rates, gets to more or less try to keep the economy on a decent glide rather than seeing too many extremes with the ups and downs. And I think he was exactly right to say what he said.
Now, the Dow is down about 100 points, so the headline I'm looking at right now says Dow drops more than 100 after Powell fails to signal rate cut ahead. But it was down 100 points before he started speaking. Then earlier they said it was
exactly.
because of the Fed's St. Louis president, James Bullard, saying that a half-point rate cut would be overdoing it. So where are we when it comes to these Fed presidents and interest rates today?
I think overall Bullard's message and that of his research staff, because this is Bullard speaking, the head of the St. Louis Fed, along with his research department, and Bloomberg was running a live feed of that from that particular conference. He was talking about 25 basis points is pretty much baked in. 25 for September looks pretty certain as well. And he said, but I think you're getting ahead of yourself if you're looking for 50 basis points at either of those two meetings. And, you know, then we had Powell come on just 30 minutes later, more or less saying, yeah, he's not going to bend to political wills or pushes from the president or anybody else.
New home sales down earlier today, the report. And then I guess the big report of the day is the drop in consumer confidence came in less than experts were expecting.
Yeah, and these, of course, I think, continue to set the table for a rate cut in July. None of us were looking for that rate cut to happen last week, but we are saying that there is about a 100% chance right now, according
give or take,
to
right?
You know, the futures, yeah, which would mean the odds are pretty good for a rate cut in July, and I'm saying 25 basis points is as far as they go. Just take back the December one, and then we'll see from there.
And how will all of that play with the White House, and what do you make of the president's sort of Twitter interaction with the Fed?
I think he'll continue to be dissatisfied because, you know, he's a real estate guy. On top of being at times, you know, a guy that just likes to fight with people, he's a real estate guy. He likes low interest rates. He knows what that means for real estate, and he believes that it means the same thing for the economy in general. I wouldn't disagree with him too wholeheartedly about the low interest rates have been good not only for the government, which borrows trillions of dollars, so the lower the rates, the better, but also for homeowners and people who want to be and or who carry credit card debt. Those debts ratchet up every time they raise interest rates, so it's better to have a low interest rate regime in terms of consumer spending.
Watching the price of gold as well, it's at a six-year high. That's over what, the rate concerns or tariff concerns, or what's driving gold?
A whole bunch of things. Let's start with Iran, because, you know, when Iran put that limpet mine, as many of us believe, into the Gulf and it got onto that ship or one or more ships and they were burning in the Gulf, that's something that gets folks nervous. It obviously helped elevate the price of crude oil, and it also elevated the uncertainty for people that had skin in the game as far as, you know, being either at the edge. Gold was right at a critical breakout point of about 1280 to 1300. Once it broke over that, a lot of us say it's going to go to 1500, maybe even 1700 on this move. And that's more or less what's been playing out. It's up 12% since the beginning of June.
All right, AbbVie, we were talking about AbbVie a little bit earlier. Humira is, well, Humira is the world's leading drug sale medicine, right? Is it Humira number one?
It is. It accounts for, I think, about 35% of AbbVie's revenue right now.
But and it's getting a little, so this is, and AbbVie's getting a little puffy under the eyes because, right, the Humira is getting competition from Europe. It's so they need a replacement, and so they look to Allergan today.
Yeah, and Allergan, of course, has Botox and Latisse, I believe, you know, that makes your lashes thicker and longer, well, something you and I are, you know, don't have to worry about when we're on the radio. But maybe when
you're on TV, who are you kidding? You're on TV. You look good on TV.
I'm using Latisse like crazy when I'm on TV. But yeah, those are obviously cosmetics as well as there are true medical benefits for folks with, for instance, various twitches and or any kind of spasms that actually Botox helps significantly curtail the negative side of any of that.
I think it works. So, they use it with stroke victims, Botox, from time to time.
Exactly right, sir. So there are medical uses as well as, of course, the cosmetic ones. And they may have overpaid just a little bit, but keep in mind this was a $300 stock a couple years ago when it was a go-go stock. They were buying everything. And lately they've been shedding debt and selling a lot of that stuff. And I think it was a matter of time before they had to do a deal like this. In other words, take somebody else and get rolled up into them rather than being the buyer.
So this is sort of, to me, like a baseball team at the trading deadline buying a known entity rather than taking the time to develop something through the minors. Is that a fair way to put it?
I think that's very fair. And it overall, I think it's they're certainly getting it at a better deal, it being, you know, those drugs we just spoke of on the cosmetic and medical side, they're getting those at a much better price than they would have probably paid 60% more just a couple of years ago for the exact same drugs.
All right, John Najarian, what are you watching today?
Well, a combination of gold and steel, U.S. steel in particular. We've seen some materials and metals just really come to the fore in June, and today we see a lot of institutional buying of letter X, which is U.S. steel. So we are buying that for clients.
John Najarian, thanks for joining us today. Let's talk again next week.
All right. Thank you, Stephen.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Already in the studio now is Gus Porter. He's the owner of WGN Flag and Decorating Company, and he's been on with us before. Gus, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you. Really happy to be here.
Okay, so you told me last time you were here, it was what? We were talking Brexit?
It was the first day of Brexit. The first question came up was the EU flag going to change?
And the EU flag hasn't changed yet, so we don't know. I was just in Switzerland, you know, so they're talking a lot there about the flag and the Red Cross and all of that. So Switzerland, you know this, I'm sure, is one of the few countries with a square flag.
Yes, very commonly. There's only a few flags in the entire United Nations that have an alternate size. Nepal being the most obvious one that has it's two triangles basically coming
really?
Out. It's the most the strangest shaped flag of all of them.
And so also, what is it? Is it called a wimple? Do you know what a wimple is?
Yes, a wimple's usually a little bit longer. I really don't know how to define their shape, actually.
It's like a pennant, but it's a skinny.
It's like a double pennant. It's two stacked on top of each other.
Okay, because when I'll stop talking about travel here, but when we were in Norway last year, the Norwegians fly Norwegian wimples from their houses. They wouldn't fly like we fly a U.S. flag. They don't fly a Norwegian flag. They have like little wimples coming out of their houses.
Most countries other than the United States don't actually fly their country's flag. That's something that's more reserved for government. To fly like your country's flag is basically saying that you're a state facility. So that's one of the things that's very strange for foreigners when they come to visit the United States, when they see our flag everywhere and say, wow, this is...
So they might come to my house to renew their passport or something.
Well, they might have to.
I did not know that. So it's we're sort of unusual in that.
We take more pride in our flag than I think any other country.
Why do you think
world.
That? Why do you think... I mean, the Norwegians certainly take pride in it. They just display it in a different way. Why do you think we fly our flag that way?
Because of the personal connection that people have with the flag. You know, people know what the 50 stars mean. They know what the 13 stripes mean. They feel that that overwhelming sense of pride in that flag. Whenever they see it, whenever they talk about it, it's really a different animal.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, I hosted the 95th anniversary show for WGN Radio. It's kind of a thrill. It was a Saturday morning show. But we are a baby compared to the other WGN company, right? You guys have been around... More than 100 years?
103 years this year, yes.
All in the same spot?
All in the same spot. We started just like a couple of doors down, and we expanded and then expanded again. And we've been right there on South Chicago this entire time.
And so how is the name? Well, how is, I want to ask how flag making has changed, but you've kind of been, your company and your family's been a witness then to the change of Chicago.
We have, we've seen a lot of changes in Chicago over 103 years.
All right, I was telling people before that when they see a banner or a commercial flag flying in Chicago, what are the odds? Pretty good that you guys made it?
Probably pretty good odds. There's a lot of buildings down here that one of my favorite pastimes is to kind of drive by and, you know, point out and annoy my family and point out all the different things that that I've either sold or installed or maintained myself.
Are you a father?
Yes, I am. I've got
that is such a
little
dad
girl
thing.
Who just turned six.
That is such a dad thing to do. Oh, I did that. That's mine, too. And so what percentage of your business is just people wanting to buy a flag for themselves or doing a commercial business, like, say, a Guaranteed Rate Field, right, or the United Center? Those flags are yours.
Yes, all the championship banners that hang in the United Center, we made every single one of those in our facility. At Guaranteed Rate Field, all of the flags that fly on the outside, that fly up above, all of the bunting that we put up for either the theme days or for 4th of July or opening day, we put up all of those.
So
as well.
Do you have competition?
Oh, yeah, everybody's got competition, especially in, you know, a days of, you know, online sales. There's a couple places, you know, you can buy it from New York, you can buy it from Philadelphia, you can buy it from California.
Can you buy it from China?
Unfortunately, you can, and the Chinese have been pretty famous for trying to pawn it off as made in America as well, making counterfeit labels.
No kidding.
That's actually been a pretty big issue within our industry of this going on.
Has the tariff issue, the trade, has that had any impact on you guys?
Not really, because you're looking at textiles versus metals. Okay. Metals are being affected more than anything.
So the thing I like what you guys do is that let's say I'm going to have a wedding, right, or a 50th wedding anniversary. You'll make a custom flag for someone?
I can make a custom flag with your photo on it, you know, assuming you want to look up and see that. But, you know,
no, I don't think
but
so.
Yeah, we can put absolutely anything on a flag,
okay,
wording, pictures, you name it.
What's it cost? Give me a ballpark.
3 foot by 5 foot, you'd be looking about $100.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a pretty cool gift for someone.
It's something that's very unique. It's completely customizable in any colors. You could even change the shape. You could do absolutely anything with
it. All right, where do people find you, Gus Porter?
We are at 7984 South Chicago Avenue, and that's in Chicago on the southeast side.
And the store you can walk into?
You can walk in. We're there 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday.
Do you ever sell like the old banners that have been hanging in other places?
We used to actually have a big selection of old White Sox pennants that we used to hang at Old Comiskey, and we'd have collectors come in, and they'd
take one
look at it, and it would be impossible for them to walk out without them.
Website as well?
WGNflag.com.
WGNflag.com here on WGNradio.com. Nice to see you again, and who knows what sort of international upheaval we'll be talking about next time.
Well, hopefully it's a little less critical than Brexit.
Gus Porter from the WGN Flag Company. Thanks very much, Jen DeSalvo. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. I was talking earlier today with Louis Lazar about AbbVie and their purchases today as they're working on Botox now in the future. We'll talk to Amy Guth a little bit later in this half hour about that. I think that's part of her Daily Gist podcast today for Crane Chicago Business. That's ahead, but right now we say hello to my friend Louis Lazar from the Chicago Business Journal. Louis, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What's going on in your world, Louis?
Well, I just went to a fabulous drag show on Sunday. That was entertaining. I can say that much. Waiting for the Max mess to be sorted out.
Well, let's start in drag then. And this is I'm fine. This is the United Airlines outreach program, or what's going on there?
Right. Well, they're trying to come up with new and different ways to appeal to different segments of their customer base. So they came up with this idea, since it's Pride Month, let's do a drag show at this restaurant in Lakeview that I guess has begun doing these on a regular basis. So they did a special one for this United Airlines Mileage Plus crowd who use their miles to buy a ticket to the event.
Okay, so wait a minute. So they're reaching out to the LGBTQ community with a drag show, but you you have to be attracted not just to the show, you have to be a Mileage Plus member?
Yeah, in order to bid on a ticket, right. It's limited to that group.
And how was the show?
Well, I hadn't been to one. Do you remember the Baton that used to be in River North?
Yeah.
I had gone to that in the 80s and written a very moving story about that. I hadn't been to a drag show since then, so it was really an eye-opener for me how entertaining and high-energy this kind of production can be.
I think
very well done.
When I first moved into the city, I think the Baton was like at Broadway and Belmont, wasn't it? Because I lived not too far from there.
Well, I know they eventually, when I came across them, they were already ensconced in River North on Clark Street. But yeah, I think they moved back up north because I just checked the website after I went to the show on Sunday, and they show a location up on Andersonville.
Well, so this speaks to the fact that these airlines are reaching out, trying to sort of have a human touch, right? And we found that the airlines the customers for airline companies want a human touch rather than sometimes just a deal.
Exactly, a human and diverse touch. They want to emphasize that they're reaching out to all the different communities that fly on the carrier.
So I just am back from Switzerland. I took a group, and we were flying Iceland Air. It took off from Zurich and had to connect in Reykjavik, which is usually fine. But when the plane pulls up to the gate at Zurich, it wasn't an Iceland Air plane at all. It was some Euro Transport or something like that. And we got on, and they said, yeah, we've had to rent or borrow this plane because of the 737 MAX diversion.
Yeah, a lot of wet leasing going on when those planes went out of service. Yeah, that's what you probably ran into.
And in order
to keep
the
capacity up, they had to wet lease these things for a limited time.
What are you saying, wet lease?
Wet lease is what they call it. Norwegian did that, too. They had a lot of problems with their MAXes. They were flying them across the Atlantic, and they had to wet lease from the people they worked with in the past while they were, while they didn't have these planes to use.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult for the branding because, you're not flying the branded plane.
It's very difficult.
They're trying to sell the products on Iceland Air and things like that, but it's just not the same. And, they were nice enough, but they weren't as helpful, I think, as a regular airline would have been.
No, it can be a shock if you don't do your due diligence and find out when a situation like this MAX thing is going on. You're better to check and make sure whether your flight is impacted and all that before you get on the plane, so it's not as much of a shock.
So airline wide, we're seeing that this is one of the issues.
That's definitely an issue.
And when's it going to be over?
Well, that to me has been the most astounding part of the whole thing, is because I don't think anybody knows yet. We're almost 4 months into this, and I think nobody can predict accurately, including Boeing, when they're going to be able to put those planes back in the air. I've seen, again, conflicting reports as soon as September or as long as December, and that's still, not known for sure. There are all these international investigations going on, and I don't think the FAA is going to greenlight putting it back in the air until all of these various investigations are completed and everybody agrees it's safe to fly it again.
And has Boeing come up with the fix? Because they said they're going to have the fix in a few days, but I don't know that they've ever said that they actually have it yet.
Well, they claim, various people say that they have got the fix and it's still being tested. It hasn't been definitively clear that the test is going to resolve the problems that they know of. But they want a more thorough test of the whole airplane again, because there's been all these issues about the way the whole thing was developed and rolled out. So I think that we've got a number of months yet to go before it's back in the air. And I think it's going to come back with a new name. That's my guess.
They're
going to rebrand it when it flies again.
Yeah, you talk about about branding. I think it's time to let go of the 737 MAX. One of the other stories you're writing about when it comes to airlines is that American Airlines and United Airlines catering workers are they moving toward a strike? Are they preparing for a strike?
Well,
how far is it?
I think they're pressuring these two catering vendors, Gay Gourmet and LSG Sky Chefs, to either give them a deal that includes health insurance or else they certainly will strike. You know, the union they're working with, Unite Here, is one of the most aggressive I've ever dealt with. They were the ones running that hotel strike last fall.
Oh, yeah.
And they also managed to get the United in-house catering unit unionized last year also. They're very aggressive. They know what they're doing, and they generally get what they want when they are organizing like this.
So are these catering workers outside? They're not United or American employees?
No, they're not at United. They belong to Gay Gourmet and LSG Sky Chefs, which are two of the biggest vendor caterers that are used at airlines used at O'Hare.
I can't imagine flying on an airplane and not being served food. Oh, wait, that happens already every time I fly.
Right. Well, unless you're sitting in the first-class cabin, because I was out looking at all these new first-class meals they're putting together at Gay Gourmet while this whole union thing was coming down last week.
Yeah, but if you talk about an irrelevant strike for most of us, the food on the airplane, I'm not going to miss it.
I know. For the vast majority, it's not a big deal. But again, you're talking about this high-end cabin that does get the food, the first-class cabin, so the attention is paid to this.
Well, and we started out with United reaching out to different workers and or employees or flyers, I should say, customers, and I know they've really reached out when it comes to business class and first class, and that would hurt them.
Right. I don't think you're going to see any fall off in service accorded to these high-end business class and first-class passengers. Right. That's the way I'm seeing it.
But I can, you know, bring my own 3-ounce bag of peanuts the next time I fly, and we'll be just
fine.
Sure,
anytime. Since the peanuts on Southwest flights are getting, they're not serving them. One of my things, the pretzels that they replace the peanuts with, the bags are getting smaller and smaller each time I fly Southwest. So, I mean, it's going to be non-existent in another year. I think maybe one pretzel per bag if we're lucky.
So they'll give you a bag, but you'll have to bring your own pretzels.
More or less. Solution.
That's Louis Lazar from the Chicago Business Journal. I love talking to you, Louis.
All right.
You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Hey, start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. You know what would be nice right now? A Slurpee, beef jerky, and, maybe Doritos. These days, it seems like that situation is all it takes for a company to start a delivery service. The convenience store chain 7-Eleven just launched their 7Now delivery service to 2,000 hotspots around the country. The service is available in Chicago right now, but it's a limited delivery app, which means you have to be at one of their hotspots in order to be eligible for delivery. This makes a lot more sense logistically for the delivery people, because these spots are usually heavily populated and easy to get to. None of that trying to find an address in the dark thing. Are you close to Quigley Avenue? Oh, I thought you said Wrigley Avenue. And some even better news is the latest effort in fighting the opioid epidemic, with Walgreens partnering up with Dispose RX. The pharmacy will have safe medication disposal kiosks at 1,400 of their stores nationwide, and use an at-home powder to render extra medications unusable after adding water. This effort will save 1.2 million pounds of unwanted prescriptions from being used improperly. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Amy Guth is in the studio, the host, of course, of the Daily Gist podcast from Crane Chicago Business and WGN Radio. Welcome back.
Hello. Glad to be here, as ever.
I can't resist it. I said it earlier, but Avi got a bit of a facelift today.
I should have used that joke earlier.
That's not a joke.
Can
it was an observation.
Can you be my pun writer, my chief pun creator?
So Avi, a little long in the tooth maybe with Humira, and they found a way to get a boost with Allergan today.
That's right. So AbbVie is already, I think they see the writing on the wall, knowing that Humira's price is going to go down as those patents expire, those patents have protected them a long time. They've been in court. They've even called it patent moat, where generics can't compete with them in the marketplace. So they kind of see the writing on the wall, and they know they need to find other revenue streams. So they've agreed to pay $63 billion for rival drug maker Allergan, which is known, I mean, we don't know that name so much, but they make Botox. That's the one people know about.
And Allergan stock has skyrocketed today. AbbVie's is suffering a little bit.
That's right.
John Najarian on earlier said maybe AbbVie overpaid a little bit. But they needed to do something, and this probably is a pretty good move.
And, you know, interesting to note, too, looking back through other big pharma buys and mergers like this, where we saw a little bit of wavering on their shares today, it's a sign that takeovers like this don't always, they're not just plug and play. They're not that smoothly done. They always take a little finagling to get into smoother waters a little bit.
And we talk about Botox, joking about facelifts and things like that, but there also are a lot of medical uses for Botox, which certainly fits with AbbVie's mission.
That's right. You know, their migraine treatment is one of the biggest that it can also help people that have chronic migraines. You know, there's things like that. I mean, there's, of course, the very booming, not medical, more cosmetic use for Botox as well. It is not, you know, it's a huge industry. And so it's a huge, and Humira, it's the best selling drug in the world. $20 billion
last
year. I mean, it's huge. So
okay, so we got that. And what else is on the Daily Gist today? You're talking a little bit about marketing to the gay community?
Yeah, so I spoke with a local CEO from the Gage Collective. His name is Teddy Height. And he's talking about, and the Gage Collective is really all about kind of the long tail approach to branding, less about how many page views and how many followers, and more about what is the authentic long-term play. And he and I had a conversation on the Daily Gist that was really focused around, instead of saving all of your rainbow content for Pride Month, engage more meaningfully with this community all year long.
We'll check it out, the Daily Gist, this afternoon. Thanks for coming by, Amy.
Thanks so much.